Welcome to episode number 349 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about some resolutions that I recommend that you take into 2015. If you listen to Monday's show this week and you're like, Trey, you just said that you don't do resolutions. You're exactly right. These were so good. We picked these up from Dr. Laura Markham over at ahaparenting.com. They were so phenomenal that I was like, nah, we're going to go ahead and do that. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent, there is always something we could do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is January the 7th, 2014. It is middle of the week Wednesday. That's right. Time is flying in this week. It's amazing how quickly it is going. Our topic for today is going to be resolutions that I recommend for 2015. Now, if you guys listen, like we talked about in the pre-recording intro segment, if you heard me on Monday, you heard me say I'm not real big on resolutions. And the reason I don't like resolutions is because most of them just seem to be very, lemming-like. It's just kind of like, I don't like doing things that everybody else is doing. I just don't. Whenever there is a mass populace of people that go do things, I actually find myself resistant to them. For example, for those of you guys that are Facebookers, when there was that big thing that came out where everybody would go fill out, like, what Lego character are you? What Lord of the Rings character are you, right? And you take the little quiz and it tells you who you are. I don't do those because I hate them. They drive me nuts. They absolutely bother me because in my mindset, it feels like it's just a bunch of, it's just the sheep herd. And I don't like following what I feel is a sheep herd. So resolutions have never been my thing. I just don't like them because it just feels like it's just what everybody's doing. So we're all excited about it. So let's go do it. Well, that ain't for me. But I was looking around for some articles for this week to feature some stuff on, and I found this article over at AHA Parenting. If y'all don't know AHA Parenting, Dr. Laura Markham is probably my favorite person out there who strictly focuses on parenting that's out there. Obviously, folks like Anna Martin over at the Libertarian Homeschooler is another one of my favorites, but she kind of focuses on a more global perspective. Dr. Markham is very focused on into parenting, and there is nothing I've ever found of hers. And I have read, we're talking well into the hundreds of her articles. I've never found anything I didn't agree with and didn't go, yes, this is good. And I read this article today, and I saw it said five resolutions. Normally, I'd have been like, I'm not reading this. But when I saw it was Dr. Markham, I thought, oh, okay, we need to go check that out. It was phenomenal. Before we get into that, some very, very brief housekeeping for today. If you guys want to get notified of any of the new episodes that come out here, go to thefamilypodcast.com, right-hand side, put your name and your email address, and click submit. Boom, that is functioning now. It wasn't earlier this week. We got it back up and running now that we had to do our upgrading. It is ready to go. Put that on there. It's one of people's favorites. I mean, nobody. We've had probably two people unsubscribe to this in the last four years of doing this. And so definitely jump over there and do that. You guys want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. That's right. If you've been listening to this and you're like, you know, Trey, I really appreciate what you do and the help that you've given, consider becoming a PTACker. That's right. Go to thefamilypodcast.com, click on the Become a Member or the PTACker, the sign up. You can do that for simple and cheap and easy. I think we got that cleaned up now. It looks a little better now. But you can jump on over there and you can, for $5 a month, that's it, just $5 a month, you can sign up and help support the show. If you feel like you're getting, like I said, that 30 cents per every single episode you're getting out of here, consider becoming a PTACker. You can cancel that at any time. And last, guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, something you want to hear from us, go to the Family Podcast. You can go to the Contact Us page. You can do it by recording it over your computer, your phone, whatever you've got. Or you can always call us, 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. Give us a call when you're on your phone. If you're out and about driving around, you think about a question you want to ask here at the Family Podcast, consider doing that. You can also email any articles you've got that you want us to cover, TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. All right, guys, with all of the housekeeping out of the way today, let's jump into our topic, which again is going to be the resolutions for 2015 that I recommend to you guys. So again, I don't like them, but when I read this list from Dr. Laura, I thought to myself, holy smoke, we have got to cover this. It is so good. Now, everybody gives out stuff that makes you go, yeah, okay, yeah, that's a pretty good thing. Yeah, you know, I mean, I really should be doing that. And I see a dozen and a half of those. I see people's Facebook statuses, their Twitter posts about what they're going to be and what they're going to become and all this other stuff. And none of them really impress me. They're pretty traditional. It's like, well, okay, I mean, okay. But this is Dr. Markham at her absolute best, taking the answer to these things one step deeper. You know, and a lot of times, like what I'll do for a show like these, I'll kind of go and peruse, you know, several different articles. Like, yeah, I like this one, and oh, I like this one from over here, and you know, I like that in that third one. I really don't like how they worded it. Let me read. We'll do this tray phrased here, you know, and I'll switch shift that stuff. This was one of those ones I was like, yes. Yes, that's what I'm talking. Yes, as I was going through each one. So we're going to cover some of that today. You know, we talked a little bit, you know, in last week, you know, so if you're wondering what's the difference between, you know, the resolutions that you talked about on Monday versus today, on Monday's show, that was particularly focused on personal ones. Those are some of the personal ones that I am doing that I've identified in myself that I want to start getting better at. And so those are what those were on Friday. Now, you guys are more than welcome to borrow some of those if you want, but I'm going to read you guys some that are just kind of, well, it's foundational. You know, we talk a lot about this is one of those things that you, more than likely, if you're like me, you've got at least one of these that you know you need to work on. And we're going to cover those today. It's very possible that you're like me and you've got five out of these five that you're going to be like, I need to be working on these. But these are some of the foundational things. When we do not have the five that we're going to talk about here in just a minute, when you do not have these securely done, it's like a foundation of a house that was poured and never allowed to completely harden and you start building on it. Or sometimes maybe it didn't harden at all. It's still mush and you're trying to put up beams and stuff like that. You're going to collapse your house. Parenting can be the same way. If we don't have the foundations down, it doesn't do us any good. You know, it's one of the things we talk about. I take a self-defense and a combat class. I love it. But that's one of the things that they do is they talked about it today. We're practicing Brazilian jiu-jitsu in a self-defense fashion today. One of the things he was talking about, he said, guys, basics. I'm going to drill you guys on these basics over and over and over and over and over. He said, you want to know why? We said, why? He said, because when we can learn to master the basics, you can solve basically anything. And so if we don't get these basics that we're going to talk about today, these five amazing foundational components of parenting, everything else that you build upon is going to struggle. You're going to hurt yourself worse. You're going to hurt your kids worse. Your life's going to suck. It's going to be much more difficult. We need to master these five very basic tenets of what we're going to talk about today. And so I want you to be listening today. And I don't want you to walk into this and overwhelm yourself, but I really want you to be listening today for what is the worst one out of these that you need to be working on? What's some of the easiest ones? And decide, what kind of person are you? Do you like to go and jump in and preload everything and get all the hard stuff done on that first little time and get that done and then work on the easier stuff later? Or do you need to build up to your harder projects? Know who you are. Know what you need to do. Know what you love. I build up. I always build up whenever it comes to waking up in the morning. When the alarms go off, my wife will roll right out of bed and get to work. I have to lay there for a little bit, and I got to warm myself up, metaphorically in this case, before I can even get started. So I know to warm it up a little bit and start with something that I can have a success with and then start moving into that bigger stuff as we go. So know yourself, and then be willing to take a look at this. Knowing what you are and what you do, take a look and ask, which one of these do I need to work on the most? If you know that you're a kind of person that likes to preload, find that hardest one and get to work on that and get that knocked out. If you're a person who builds up to it, know which ones that you can get success with pretty easy and start building yourself up with those. So walk into that today with this mentality. Let's talk about how we can grow. What are those areas? What are those basics that we can use to be able to basically parent our kids well? Let's talk about those. So again, this is over at AHA Parenting called Five Resolutions That Will Make You a Better Parent This Year, written by Dr. Laura. And she writes, number one of the five resolutions that will make you a better parent this year, number one, resolve to work on regulating your own emotions. You see? This is the big thing about the Family Podcast Network. We advocate here that it's not about teaching our kids how to do these things. Yes, that's important. What we talk about is how it's about looking for the ways that we can teach ourselves to do these things so that way our kids can learn how to do it by watching us vicariously. That's right. She writes, if you do this, you learn to be happy, patient, encouraging parent that you want to be. Start by integrating daily, sustainable self-nurturing into your life. What were all those big words that Dr. Laura just said? Take care of yourself. Parents lately today do not take care of themselves, or they think that in taking care of themselves, that it means they're taking care of themselves in a good way. And so many people are believing that, oh, okay, well, I'm taking care of myself. I feel bad, so I'm going to, you know, open up some alcohol and drink some liquors and stuff like that. Guys, I drink alcohol. I have beers. We have spirits in the house. This is not some kind of like, oh, my God, Trey doesn't like alcohol. But they do things that aren't necessarily good for them. Food is another one. Like, well, it's easier for me just to down this, this pint of ice cream or something like that. We're talking about do things to take good care of yourself. Whether that's going to bed early. You see, the life of the entrepreneur is that I'm often up super dog late, and I was getting really, 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 really tired on the way to work and on the way back. I mean, we're talking like almost drifting off the wheel. And that little 3-week break that we got for Christmas and New Year's, man, I was able to sleep in, at least for us, it was able to sleep in and get such better rest and be able to not have to work as late and then sleep in the morning. And it was wonderful, man. And it was amazing. It took about 2 weeks solid of doing that before I started realizing I wasn't getting tired in the middle of the day anymore like I had been before. So taking good care of ourselves, eating better, right, is another thing. Transform. Here's one that she put, and it sounds goofy, guys, but she put transform those inner negative comments into encouraging ones. Guys, that sounds dumb, and I know some of you guys out there maybe, you know, choking on your psych, you know, pop psych gag spoons or something like that. The reality is this stuff actually works. Inner negative talk, when you talk crappy about yourself, is not good. Now, this is not good for two different reasons. Number one, if we have a tendency to say crappy things about ourselves to ourselves, we have a tendency to believe those things. When I was a kid, I used to tell myself I suck at math. I suck at math. I'm bad at math. That's just not my specialty. That's not my strong suit. And I'm suck at math. And I kept saying that. Well, guess what happened to all my grades in math as I said it more? It started getting worse. Because what would happen was I'd pull out my homework sheet and I'd look at it and be like, I'm no good at math. There's no reason to work that hard at this. Right? So my math grade sucked. Well, I heard about this concept. See, I fell in love with psychology at a very young age. And so I heard about this concept, so I started speaking positively. And for a while there, I had to say through gritted teeth, I am really good at math. And I had to say it like that for months and months before I actually finally began to believe what I was saying. But guess what happened? What do you think my math grades did? They started going up. I started becoming a C to a C+, to a B, to a B+, and then I started making A's in this math class. But it was all because I was telling myself out loud that I was these things. I'm not saying that you should start lying to yourself about that. I am a matador. I am a great, amazing matador from Spain. And then all of a sudden you're going to become one. That's not what I mean. But when you begin to say something long enough, you begin to believe what you say to yourself. And that's the kind of stuff we want to do. We want to be filling our heads with the good crap, not with the stuff that doesn't make us any better. Why is this so important? It's important because guess who is watching us to learn everything they're going to do in their lives? Our kids are. So we have got to regulate our emotions better. If we suck at handling our emotions, our kids will too. In a lot of cases, they'll be even worse than we are at it. Because not only are they kids with high levels of emotional regulation or dysregulation anyway, but you start mixing in that the only thing that they know is to not handle their emotions very well. Well, dadgummit. So we're talking about managing your reactions when you get into them. We're going to talk here in a little bit. So you may be tempted to say, oh, you're talking about anger management, aren't you, Trey? No, I do not believe in anger management. What do you mean you don't believe in anger management? If you're getting to the point to where things are making you angry all the time, this isn't just about anger management. This is something deeper than that. What we're talking about is how do we keep ourselves in a preventative mindset? You see, whenever emotions aren't regulated the way that they should be, physiologically, neurologically, we have those different parts of the brain called fight, flight, or freeze, right? And it's a natural, instinctive part of our brain that if somebody jumps out of a corner and scares us, right? The fight response will immediately start swinging. I mean, just almost involuntarily, we begin swinging at them. and trying to eliminate this threat. The flight response will try to take off and run. That's the one that jerks away and tries to get away as quickly as they can. Then there's the freeze, and that's whenever we're really getting hurt, when we just kind of curl up into that fetal position, and we're just trying to protect our major organs. We're just trying to survive this event, not necessarily run away from it or, you know, dominate it. So we have those three different pieces of that brain. And so whenever our emotions are not where they need to be, we run to those fight, flight, or freeze responses, right? Whenever you do that, whenever your kid is pushing you, whenever your kid is doing something that you're getting frustrated by, what do you think you start to see your kid as? You start to see them as an enemy, right? Maybe you're moving into your fight response. So you need to make sure that you regulate your emotions. Don't respond or don't react to your kid when you're worked up. Number two, resolve to love the one you are with. What exactly does Dr. Markham mean when she says that? We have a tendency to get this belief system of to what our kids should be and what we want them to be and what we think they need to be in many cases. And problematically, that can lead us to a point where if we're not careful, we start to want our kids, well, let's just rephrase that. When if we're not careful, we start to get to a point where we become resentful of our kids because they're not becoming what we want them to be. And when we reach that level of resentment with our kids, when we're not happy with them for who they are, where they are, we begin to do this little nasty thing called change them. Now, are you saying, whoa, wait a minute here, Trey. Are you trying to say that we shouldn't teach our kids good behaviors or how to do better behaviors or to stop doing bad behaviors? No, that's not what I'm saying here at all. It is we need our kids, as a matter of fact, to be looking for better ways to improve their behavior. And we need to be a part of helping them achieve that. What I'm saying is, what happens whenever we have a kiddo who has just got a personality trait that is difficult? So let me take my example. Charlotte Louise Gibson. That's our little 2-year-old ball of, let me punch you in your face. She is our rambunctious, get into everything, handsy, moving around. You tell her to stop. She stops it for a little while. She goes right back to doing it and looks you in the eye to see what are you going to do about you. You see, she's got a spirit of strength around her. She is a strong little girl. You guys remember that the episode I put out a while back called Strong-Willed Wrong, and basically is my belief system that Dr. James Dobson, the guy who wrote the book Strong-Willed Child, I believe he's wrong. And I think he flat out got it wrong, because his mentality was you got to break that because you're helping them, you know, be more responsible to authorities and et cetera. And I said, I don't agree with that. I do believe that we have our kids that are strong, but I think that the real answer here is to set boundaries with them on the things that really matter, get rid of the crap that really doesn't matter, be firm with those boundaries when they do, but never break the spirit of the kid. Because it is that strength that can serve them so well in life. And if we're not careful, we don't get to the point where we can learn to love the kid that we are with. We begin to resent them and become hateful towards them. Instead of seeing those strengths within them, and for loving our kids, accepting them unconditionally, that means there is no condition on it. They don't have to do anything to earn it. Giving our kids that love that says, it doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you say, I will always love you for who you are right now. Not whenever they start making B-plus grades like we want them to. Not whenever they stop screaming in the middle of Walmart, I love you right now. Kids who feel like they are loved right where they are, research articles show they thrive. They do the best out of all the kids that are out there. One of the things that Dr. Markham brings up that I think is wise to remember here, every kid is different. Your eldest is going to like things being done and is going to feel loved in a different way than your next kid and a different way than your next kid. We've got one kid, my sweet little Cora Eve. She is our lover. She is our snuggly, cuddly, wants to hug. She is no doubt little girl who receives her love language, as a lot of you guys know. I love the book, 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. If you haven't read it, you need to read it, not just for your spouse, but also for your kid. She is the physical affection little girl. She is the one who wants to be in your lap, curled up with you, having you rock her, hold her, kiss her. She's always coming up asking for hugs. That's just who she is. But my daughter Anna is not that way. She wants hugs from daddy. But there reaches a point where she is ready to sit down and reason. She loves quality time. She wants to sit down with you and visit. She wants to sit down and talk, and she wants to reason with you. And she loves to utilize logic and knowledge and talk about those things. Tia, my about-to-be little daughter, she loves gifts. Did you get me anything? What did you get me? She loves gifts. That is the way she receives those things. So each kid receives these things in different ways. And I am guilty all the time of trying to meet one of my kids' needs in a language that they don't really receive. They don't pick it up well. It doesn't mean that much to them. Transmitting on the wrong frequency, right? And I'll admit, most of the time, why am I doing that? Because it's easier. It's easier than what they really need to hear, that they're loved, and I don't want to have to do the harder thing. I want to do the easy thing. We've got to love the kid with who they are and where they are. We have to know them. We have to accept them for all of the wonderful stuff they're going to do that's going to make us proud and happy and wonderful. And we have to accept them for all the challenges, the things that are going to be hard. Helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't, right? Even a kid who's not hard at certain periods of life can be. Can we learn to accept them for all those things? Or do they have to earn it? Do they have to earn our love and our care? It happens easier than we think. Let's see. I love what she put here. She goes, well, so what's the secret to all of this? She said, see it from their perspective, your kids. Empathize with your kid and celebrate every step in the right direction. That's the right thing right there. All right, number three. Number three is a really good one. Resolve to stay connected. You know, we talk frequently on here about parents and about how you've got, like, not parents, we're talking about leaders, you know, talking about military leaders, right? And how one of our goals here at the Family Podcast Network is to get ourselves to the point to, when it comes to our kids, we want our kids to follow us into the things that we say to do. And it's not because they're afraid of what's going to happen if they don't. But they do it because they respect us, because they trust us, right? It's the difference between that military leader who says, go, you know, screaming and yelling at you to go run into that, you know, that hail of bullets, versus that leader who says, let's go, boys, and runs into that hail of bullets himself, right? He leads, right? Which one of those is more than likely going to produce results from your men? More than likely, it's going to be the one who takes that opportunity to go run right into those bullets first. The one that you build the respect with. We need to resolve to stay connected with our kids. Kids have a tendency to cooperate with us, to follow what we do, only when they feel like they are connected to us. How do you stay connected? It's very, very easy in most cases. You got to know your kid, but I'll give you a classic easy example. I got home late today because we had car problems over the weekend. So we had to take our car in to get it rekeyed, because it was one of those radio electronic keys, you know, that, so you can't just go to Walmart and cut a new one like you used to could. So I had to take that sucker in and get it rekeyed. So I got home late tonight after I picked up the car. So as I pull in, I sit down and it was already time for me to start making some dinner. And so I start whipping up some dinner. And so my son really wanted to play with me today. But they were just, I mean, we had to go straight from that straight to you know, getting meals done, getting cleaned up after meals, getting a shower and all that other stuff, and get you into bed. So instead, what I did is I said, okay, come here, son. And I had him pull up a chair. And we sat down. What really happened was, is we sat down and made macaroni and cheese together. But he actually made most of the macaroni all by himself. And as we did that, we did what we call sunshine and cloud. And sunshine is just like, what are those things in your day that was just good? You know, what were those things that you just enjoyed, made you smile, made you comfortable, made you laugh, all that stuff. And then we talk about cloud. Well, you know, what's something that happened today that maybe was a little upsetting or a little frustrating or a little made you angry or hurt your feelings or made you sad or disappointed or whatever those things are. And, you know, and the idea behind that is let's talk about some of the good things in life. Let's talk about some of the things that are comfortable and fun. But also let's be willing to be brave with our kids and go in and talk about those uncomfortable things as well, because they're both a reality of life. They're both a piece of life. Staying connected with our kids. Having those things that help us relate to them. That's why we call it a relationship. Remember, like Dr. Markham says, remember that quality time is about connecting, not teaching. So it's mostly unstructured. She recommends things like hug your kids the very first thing whenever you, you know, when you're in the morning or when you drop them off at school or whatever, when you say goodbye. And then when you're reunited, you know, at the end of the day and all that kind of stuff. You'd be amazed at what that kind of stuff does. She writes, listen, commiserate, hug, roughhouse play, laugh, emphasize, listen some more. Not enough time, make more time. What's more important than this? But it's valuable for us. We're in a society that's not very good with connection with people. We're in a society that doesn't do very good at connecting on an emotional level. And all of these things that we're talking about here are valuable. She talks about stopping working on your phone, turn off your computer so that you can focus. Sitting down and eating with your kids. Do that sunshine and cloud thing, guys. I throw this crap out there to give you guys ideas on things that you can try to take home and put in your toolbox at home. Try sunshine and cloud with your kid. You may need to explain it to him. Say, okay, guys, today we're going to play a little game called sunshine and cloud. What a sunshine is, and then explain it just like I said a minute ago, something that's fun and comfortable. Remember, don't say good emotions. Comfortable emotions are good. But just because emotions are negative or don't feel good or they're uncomfortable doesn't mean they're bad. So stay away from good, you know, good feelings and good memories or, you know, bad moments or bad memories from today. Stay away from those because all emotions are created equal. It is a matter of what we do with them anyway that makes them, quote unquote, good or bad. It is normal for everybody to look at somebody who has something we want and feel a pang of jealousy. If we then talk crap about them or allow ourselves to brood and get angry about them or steal their stuff, God forbid, that's when it becomes quote-unquote bad. But the feeling is just a feeling. And they're all pretty natural for the most part. But one of the most important things out of this, if there's only one word that I could tell you to try to discuss, okay, how do we stay connected with our kids, it's this word right here. Just listen. Get them talking. You might have to poke the bear a little bit to get them talking. You might have to stoke the fire to get the heat out of them, right? And when I say get the heat out of them, I don't mean make them mad. I'm not saying that you go and get them all pissed off or something. What I'm saying is that you just want to get them talking. You might have to ask some questions. How was your day today? Good? Right? Seems like we're done. No, we're not done yet. Well, what made it good then? Well, I had something, this blah, blah, blah happened to me. Oh, okay. Tell me more about that. What happened? Right? See, that's genuine interest. Most of us in America are very familiar with this concept of pleasantries, right? Hey, how are you today? In most cases, do we really know and mean that, or do we really care about how somebody's feeling today or, you know, how somebody's doing today? No, we're not. In most cases, we're saying it's a pleasantry. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a part of what it is. It's just kind of a, hey, I acknowledge that you're here. How you doing? Real tentatively tell me. Oh, I'm fine, right? Boom. Conversation's done right there. And then we wrap it up. That's what we're talking about. That's what, is how do we elicit that? How do we express that knowledge to them that we want more from them? Well, you just ask more questions. Tell me more. Oh, okay. So you had a good day today. Tell me more about that. Oh, what happened there? Okay. Oh, really? Right? And then that's where we can get them talking a little bit. And this is how we connect with kids. We have to be in front of them. We have to be talking. We have to have, you know, those that face-to-face time where we're giggling or laughing or something. But resolve to stay connected with your kid this year. We live in a world that has been burned. Most everybody that's out there, and I'll guarantee you most of you folks that are listening to me now have been burned by somebody. Whether it was an ex-spouse, an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend in high school, maybe it's your mom and your dad, the very people that we know aren't supposed to. But we have those people who have burned us. And when we get burned enough, over and over and over, we have a tendency to try not to connect anymore. And we kind of take that master switch and say, you know what, I don't want to feel this crap anymore because it sucks so much. And we just go, dong, and we shut that whole giant switch off. Well, you know, the thing about emotions is you don't get to just pick which emotions that you feel. Emotions are going to come one way or the other. So what you have to do is if you shut one of them down, you wind up having to shut them all down. And now some people will argue, well, Trey, I mean, isn't that a good thing? If you've grown up in a position like that, I mean, don't you kind of need to be able to shut some of that down? The answer is most emphatically, I agree with you. That is a good thing. However, the minute that you walk in to having kids, you are theoretically, at least in the healthiest sense, saying, okay, I'm in an emotional perspective where I acknowledge that it is physiologically important. We're talking about brain development. It is physiologically important to my kid that I be able to connect with him on an emotional level. In other words, kids that relate themselves, or kids who regard themselves as being better connected with their parents, have a tendency to have better brain functions. They have more dendritic connections. Basically, they learn, expand, and retain information better than those who don't feel stable. It is physiologically important for your kid to connect with you. So we need to do everything that we can to allow ourselves, to make ourselves connectable by doing these things that we talked about here today. Avoiding that fear of getting close to people, at least with our kids. I'm not saying that you start trusting every man or woman or whoever else who you've been scorned by. I'm not saying you start trusting them. Our kids need it from us. They need us to be in that state. So let's provide it for them. Number four, oh, you're going to love this one, guys. It's one of my favorites. Resolve to role model respect. Now, I think everybody looks at this and they all just kind of clap their hands. Yay, this is so good. I don't think most parents, with the exception of probably this audience, because you guys have been listening for so long, but I don't think most people really understand what this number four means. What are we talking about? We want kids that are thoughtful, that are kind, that are helpful, that are respectful, right? We have all of those things that we want from our kids, and yet we have a tendency to treat our kids like we would treat no one else. My wife and I are working on in the middle of writing some scripts for some short videos that we're going to present to you guys. We're gonna put out to you guys about it's going to be really funny, but it's going to be what if we treated our people at work as supervisors the same way we treat our kids. And you'd be amazed. And it's amazing the disrespectful things that we do to our kids, all in the name of, you will respect me. We have to be willing to learn to be respectful to our kids. From treating them like human beings, not treating them as property, by treating them the way that we would want to be treated, in most cases that works. Whenever we do these things, we raise kids that know nothing else but to be these things. Kids learn what we model. Remember, who's watching us to learn everything that they're going to do in our lives, in their lives? Our kids are. And if we can't even deal with our emotions well enough to treat them like humans, what do you think that's going to do to them? Number five, resolve to address the needs and feelings behind your child's behavior. This is one that's really hard, a hard pill for parents to swallow, because in a lot of cases when there's overt or even covert behavioral problems, there's things that kids are doing that we acknowledge is not right, right? When kids do those things, we have a tendency to look at them and say, you are being a bad kid. You are being a bad kid. Here's the thing about misbehavior. Let's take my little foster kiddo, Tia, and her exemplified very large temper tantrums and meltdowns that we've received. Every single one of her things that she does like that, that misbehavior, the tantrums, the meltdowns, the punching my wife in her eye, every single one of those things is trying to meet some need. Now that need may be, I'm angry and I need to get the anger out of it. I don't think it rarely is. That need may be, I need you to get away from me because every single other person in my life has left me. So I need you to leave me just to show that I'm right. This is familiar for me. Every single behavior is a need. Every temper tantrum, every crazy scream fit is a need. You know, I got taken to school on this. So last night, I had the monitor next to my bed for the big kids. Corey had the little kids, and I had the big kids monitor, and I was listening. And I heard our two-year-old Charlotte wake up, and she was in there talking. And we've had some issues with her lately of waking up at night, and my wife going and bringing her into bed. So tonight, that night, I was like, no, we're not going to get her out of that bed. We're going to, you know, in my mindset, I was seeing that she was just waking up and decided she wanted to get up. And I wasn't listening to my own advice and seeing that all misbehavior like this, which she wasn't necessarily misbehaving. She was just up at 4 a.m. talking and yelling loudly. You know, in my mind, I was seeing it as nefarious, as criminal in nature. She's being a big dirt, blah, 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 blah. Well, my wife went in there, and sure enough, she was sitting in a giant completely filled up diarrhea diaper. Not just poop, guys. We're talking stomach wasn't doing very good diarrhea. And she'd been sitting in it for a little while. See, if I was listening to this show better, I would have known that all behaviors like that are trying to meet some need. And not all of them are physiological, too. I mean, in that case, that was a very easy to spot one because there was, well, there was dookie everywhere. But sorry, word dookie makes me laugh. But anyway, you know, that was an easy one to identify. But sometimes kids have needs that aren't necessarily physiological in nature. They're psychological in nature. And those are a lot more difficult to understand. So one of the examples she lists in here is, once you address the feelings or needs, the behavior changes. Parents who lead by loving example redirect preemptively rather than punish. You can throw the ball outside and sets limits empathically. You're mad and sad, but I won't let you hit. Let's use your words to tell your brother how you feel. See, that's how you raise self-discipline kids who want to follow your guidance. See, it's important to acknowledge that, okay, this kid may be being a douche canoe here, and they're throwing a fit, and they're wanting, you know, they're feeling, you know, they're crazy because they didn't get their toy in Walmart, and they're creating a scene, and everybody's looking at me, and I just know everybody thinks I'm a bad parent right now, right? And all of these things are going through our head. It's one thing just to look at them and say, no, I'm not getting you that toy because of the way you're acting. Well, if we stop and we say, okay, what is my kid feeling? Have you ever wanted something really, really, really bad and you didn't get it? Or at least you weren't going to get it right now? How much does that drive you nuts? Right now, I am desperately in the market for a street motorcycle. I've got a dual purpose right now. I'm loving it, but I'm ready for a street bike as well to go park under that shed under there, right? I want that bad. And if I ever got the notion that there was no way for me to get it, how would I feel about that? I would feel pretty destroyed. Well, kids do. Kids do feel destroyed. They don't know how to regulate those emotions. And if we can stop and look at the little temper tantrum that's being thrown there, we can start to evaluate and say, okay, what need are they trying to meet? Okay, he really, really does want this toy. Now, while I may not understand why anybody wants the red Power Ranger, I don't get it. This kid does, just like my motorcycle. And to them, it is equally as important as my motorcycle might be to me. And if I can walk into it with that premise, that doesn't mean that they start caving, okay, I'll buy it for you. But instead, it may be, hey, it really looks like you want red Power Ranger here, don't you? Yeah, I get that. I definitely get that. Listen, I mean, I'm not going to buy this for you right now, but here's what I can do. Do you have your money with you? Oh, you didn't bring your money. Well, how much money do you have? You got 10 bucks. Well, hey, this is $8. Tell you what, I'll loan you the money, and you can pay me back when we get home. Or maybe they don't have any money. Hey, you really want that. I get that. Let me tell you this. I mean, I'm not just going to buy it for you, but if you want to, there is a whole bunch of chores at the house that didn't get done this morning before we left. If you want to start working on those, I'll give you $8 worth of work, and you can buy it. You know, you can come back and buy it once you get your work done, right? Set them up with that. Some people ask me, well, Trey, should I ever loan them the money first and then let them work it off? I do not recommend that. Number one, you want them to work and then be able to receive the delayed gratification of a job well done. Why? That's the way life is. I don't sign up for a job and start working that first day and get my month, you know, my biweekly paycheck right then. I have to do the work first. And so we want to model that for them. Number two, it is so good for kids' brains to experience delayed gratification. Delayed gratification has been shown to increase brain and neural activity in kids like crazy. It is so good for kids to learn how to put off having good things for a little while. I also don't like it for another reason that's a little more of a personal perspective. But for me, that mentality starts to set kids up for the credit card mentality, the credit mentality of you can have what you want right now without working for it. There are some people out there, first off, that are disciplined with credit cards. And they use their credit cards wisely, and they never overspend their budgets, and they do exactly what they need to. They still live well within their means, and they use that credit card as an intermediary for buying certain things. And I think that is wonderful. However, I also think that there are very few people that are actually doing that. And I think that it is so easy to become addicted to this mindset of, oh, look, I've got money because I can swipe this card. I have a $3,000, a $5,000, or an $8,000 limit. That means I have $8,000 to spend. No, you don't. That means that you have $8,000 plus another $500 to $600, $700, $800 worth in interest of money that you've got to work for. So you don't have $3,000 to spend. You have $3,000 plus whatever extra to work for now. And you're still only going to get $3,000, even though you're going to pay X amount. You see what I'm saying? And I don't want my kids ever getting used to that. I want them to see that the normal operations, the order of operations that occurs in our life is, if I want something, then I must work hard, and then I take that work hard money and I buy what I want. I always, 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 always want my kids walking around with that mentality. You see, we're just getting close to bailing ourselves out of credit card debts. We had an astronomical amount, and we're still chipping away at some stuff. I don't want my kids to deal with that. I never want them to have to dedicate a chunk of their paycheck to pay off something that they don't even, may not even have, if it was a consumable. Okay, but I seriously digress here. Back on topic. If we are really listening to our kids and really listening for what they're wanting and needing there, we can start to see it in more of a light, not just a, no, you can't have that. We begin to where we can see it in the light of, okay, yeah, you can get that. Sure, yeah. How are you going to afford that? Do you have money already? Do you have Christmas money saved up? Do you have some money that you've been working for with your chores? Did you choose not to get ice cream for the last 3 weeks, and so now you have more than you need to go buy that, right? See, we set them up with those alternative options. Well, that doesn't mean that we'll be able to buy it for them right now, or maybe it does. If they've got the money, maybe it does mean we'll buy it for them right now, and then they can pay us back. But fundamentally, we look at our kids. We see their emotions as well. We're aware of those needs and those feelings, and we help them meet those things. We hope our kids find a good way to get to those things that they want instead of just taking a big poo on them. Shut up. No, you can't have that. No, I don't want to hear you talking anymore. We have a tendency to shut our kids down in those cases. Let's don't do that anymore. So these are the five things that I recommend this year that you start looking at. Where can you grow in certain areas? Number one, resolve to work on regulating your own emotions. Deal with your own crap and deal with your own crap well. Don't just stuff it in. Don't just hold it down and think that you're dealing with your emotions well. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about processing emotions, understanding what it is that you're feeling, and doing the best to quit seeing the people around you as problems, as turds, as misfits, as miscreants, as turds, as disrespectful, defiant, whatever. Stop seeing people in those labels and start seeing them as people. That doesn't mean that they're not portraying those behaviors, but they're still a person. They're still important. They're still just as important to you as you are. So resolve to work on your own emotions and your own junk. Resolve to love the one that you're with. Make sure that you know your kid is who he is for a reason. And while we can always work on behaviors, accept the personalities that they are and don't break them. Number three, resolve to stay connected. In a world that it's very easy to disconnect with people, stay connected with your kids by loving on them, listening, talking, playing, roughhousing, whatever. Resolve to role model respect. Treat your kids like they're people. I'm not saying you treat them like adults. You're not little mini adults yet. But what they are is little people. And little, not little people. They are people. They just haven't grown into, they haven't had as many cell divisions as we have. But treat them like a person fundamentally. My rule of thumb is, if you wouldn't use it on somebody at work, you should ask yourself if you should really use it with your kid. Number five, resolve to address the needs and the feelings behind your kid's behavior. Don't assume that because a kid has a crappy turd behavior, that means the very essence of them is turd. They're probably just hurting or upset or tired or hungry or scared or whatever else that it could be. But learn to figure out, what is my kid needing? How can I help them meet it? Well, all right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join Jeff and I this Friday for our next episode of the Real Family Guys podcast. Let me tell you, Jeff and I have been hashing out some serious topics for you guys. We're ready to bring you guys some new stuff that's going to cook y'all's bacon. Definitely want to come check us out this Friday for our next episode of the Real Family Guys podcast. If nothing else, I hope you guys have a great day, a great week. We'll see you all on Friday.